when mothers respond, it influences the kids first and foremost, but also others who are watching. And I invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, at this time, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 28 to 35 this morning. It's really associated more with Christmas, this text. The Lord Jesus has been born, and the 33 days of purification have taken place. And now Mary and Joseph, his parents, are permitted from the Old Testament scriptures to come into the sanctuary and to dedicate him to the Lord, which is what they do. And God, through his Holy Spirit, leads a man by the name of Simeon to be there while Jesus is being dedicated. That's our background. And now let's look at the first situation, the first circumstance where it's important for moms, I think especially, to respond well in the lives of their kids. I think it's important for moms, mothers, to respond well to the praises of mothering when their kids are praised. Verse 28. So he, that is Simeon, took him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. In essence, what Simeon is saying is, okay, I'm ready now to depart. I'm ready to go home to be with you. I'm ready to go home to be with you in peace. You told me prophetically, you spoke to me years ago that I would not pass away. I would not die until I saw the Lord's anointed, until I saw the Messiah. And after he holds baby Jesus in his arms, he says, okay, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to depart in peace because I've seen your son. That's petty stuff, ladies, don't you think? I've seen your son. I'm ready to die now. I'm ready to go home to be with you, Lord. And that's exactly what he said. According to your word, God had prophetically spoken this. He had said this to Simeon earlier. But that's not the only praise that Joseph and Mary hear at this moment from the lips of Simeon. They also hear that their son, this little baby, is going to be the source of salvation and the source of blessings to many. Verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. When I look at this baby and I look into his eyes, I see the one who is going to be the savior of the world. I see the one who's going to be the savior and a blessing to both Jew and to Gentiles. And you have to remember, this is Joseph and Mary looking at their 5-week-old son. And they hear these words coming from the lips of Simeon. Specifically, my eyes have seen your salvation, O God. I've seen this baby Jesus, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. All peoples are going to be blessed by this baby. First of all, he will be a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. The Gentiles will have spiritual light because of this baby. You will open the eyes of Gentiles, and they will have eyes that can see, ears that can hear, and they will experience the very life of God, eternal life, because of this baby that Joseph and Mary have brought to be dedicated to you. What does he mean by light? What does he mean, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles? Let's turn, if we would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, speaking to the Gentile Ephesians who had come to Christ. Before Jesus, at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. you were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. In short, you were in darkness. You were spiritually clueless. You spiritually could not see. You had no idea how to get right with the one true God, but you were able to because of this baby who became a man, who died on the cross because of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, speaking to the church at Ephesus, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." BC, before Christ, you were in darkness. Spiritually, you were blind. You couldn't see a spiritual one and a spiritual one and come up with a spiritual two. You were incapable of adding that up. But then you came to Christ, and now you are children of light. You have eyes that can see and ears that can hear, and you know the life of God and the light of God. And that's all because of this baby that Mary and Joseph had just brought and Simeon was holding. But not only will the Gentiles be blessed, but so also will the Jew. Verse 32 again in Luke 2, "You are light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and also the glory of your people Israel." Because of this child, the children of Israel, the Jewish people, are going to receive far more honor and glory than they've ever received before in their entire history. And they had some glorious periods, particularly the period of David and Solomon, but you ain't seen nothing yet. And that day is still coming for the Jewish people, and it's all because of their Messiah, Messiah Jesus. In Zephaniah chapter 3, that infrequently looked at book, the book of Zephaniah, we hear about some of the honor, some of the glory that the Jewish people will receive. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14. "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all of your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, because the Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more." Do you think the Jewish people would like to hear those words right now? "You shall see disaster no more. Your enemy is going to be taken care of." Verse 16, "In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. For the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. And he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet with you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. In the day that the Lord saves the children of Israel, he's going to rejoice over the children of Israel with gladness. And he will rejoice over the children of Israel with singing." Usually we sing to God. God's going to sing over the children of Israel. The day comes when all Israel will be saved at Jesus' second coming. And this is all going to be made possible because of this baby. Well, that's pretty heady stuff to hear about one of your kids. Notice the response that Mary and Joseph give. Verse 33. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Marveled. You know, I marvel that all they did was marvel. They were astonished. I mean, if somebody had said anything like that about one of my kids, the head would have gotten bigger and bigger. I'm just telling you the way it is. In fact, you wouldn't have to say anything nearly that magnificent for my head to go, "Swell, baby, swell." Oh my, when people praise us, it tests our character. When people praise our kids or our grandkids, it really tests our character. I'm just here to tell you. I'm not lying to you. You know Pastor Joe doesn't lie. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 21, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is tested by what others say of him. Oh yeah, just like silver and gold are tested and refined by fire, and you can see just how pure that silver and that gold is by that fire. So too, in the same way, you can see what a person is made of when you praise them, or better yet, when you praise one of their kids. Yeah, you can see what's in the heart. Can see if there's genuine humility. Can see if there's hidden pride. Can see if we really believe that they are who they are by the grace of God, and every gift and every talent and every positive thing is because God has worked in their lives, or he gave it to them at birth, or gave them the opportunity, or gave them the motivation, or whatever. We can tell if we believe that, or if we believe that they're El Magnifico. Oh, yeah. We can tell that. Absolutely. Are we humble in our hearts? And you know how it works. I mean, let's just get real concrete here. Somebody says something about how pretty your five-year-old daughter or granddaughter is, and the next thing you know, you're fantasizing about her winning the Miss Universe pageant years down the road. Right? Yeah. Somebody tells you how talented your seven-year-old kid is, or how a seven-year-old grandkid is at playing soccer, and before you know it, you're envisioning them scoring the winning goal in the World Cup. Or somebody talks about how sharp, how smart your kid is, and the next thing you know, you're sitting there dreaming about the day when they win the Nobel Peace Prize, the Nobel Prize for coming up with a cure for the common cold. It's amazing where our minds go. And I speak from personal experience. My mind has gone there many a time. It's really important to respond properly to praises that other people give us about our kids, because quite frankly, they will reflect our response. If deep down inside we got this build-up pride, well, they're going to probably be pretty proud about things that the Lord has given them. If we reflect genuine humility, there's a better chance that they're going to reflect that humility as well. It's important to respond properly to the praises of mothering. How about one more? This one is not as much fun. To the pain of mothering. It's important to respond properly to the pain of mothering as well to the praises of mothering. Verse 34, then Simeon blessed them. He praised them and asked God to bless them. You know, that tells us that mothering, there's a mixture of pain with blessings. There's a lot of blessings. There's an awful lot of blessings. If there weren't a lot of blessings, I don't think anyone would be a mom. And so, yeah, there's pain, but thank the Lord, it's mixed with even more blessings. So Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child that I've been holding is destined, he is ordained by God the Father for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. This child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And now he begins to describe the pain that she's going to feel. What he's saying there is many people will believe or not believe in your son. Some of them will fall and some of them will rise because of your son. Those who trust in him for their salvation, they will rise. Those who don't, they will fall. In Romans chapter 9, Paul expounds upon this. Romans chapter 9. Notice what Paul writes in verse 31. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, Jesus being the stumbling stone, As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. A lot of people, Jews and Gentiles, but specifically the Jews are being spoken of here, are going to stumble over Jesus. They're going to trip. The Jewish people are naturally going to believe that all I need to do is obey the Old Testament law, be a good person, be a good Jew, I'll be right with God, I'll go to heaven. Jesus comes along and says, no, that's all wrong. What you need to do is understand that you can't keep the law, that you're a big time sinner and you need me to be your Savior. And many Jews, multitude of Jews, didn't get it. They didn't understand that the law was there to show them that they need a Savior from their sins. And they stumbled over the stumbling stone over Jesus. And all of their destiny was going to be determined by what they did with that little baby in Simeon's arms. Can you imagine? Wow. People will believe or not believe, and it will determine their eternal destiny. This child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Boy, people said some pretty mean things to Jesus, didn't they? During his lifetime. He was a sign which was spoken against. People called him all kinds of names. We just know the names that the Bible says that he was called. Let's just take a look at one text. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 22. Then one was brought to Jesus who was demon-possessed. He was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees, the religious leaders, heard of it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And so here they say that Jesus cast up demons by the power of Beelzebub, that is Satan. At other points, they called Jesus Beelzebub, Satan, a deceiver. They were envious of him, they slandered him, and they deeply hated him. This is your son, Mary, and this is how many people are going to treat him. And that's exactly what happened. But that wasn't the worst thing that Mary had to endure as a mother. Can you imagine? You know how it is when somebody's making fun of your kid, and you don't like it, do you? Well, this was nothing, nothing compared to what Mary's son went through. And you know, the interesting thing to me about all of that is that Jesus never committed any what? He was sinless. And that's how they treated a sinless son. But that's not the worst thing that happened. No, that's not the worst thing that happened. Verse 35. Yes, a sword, metaphorical for deep anguish of your soul. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, Mary. A sword will pierce through your own soul also. You're going to experience incredible internal anguish and pain while he's hanging on the cross. That will be the ultimate pain that you will endure. You will be pierced by the cross. You will suffer more than anybody while Jesus is on the cross, except for Jesus himself. You know, if somebody is perfect, a son is perfect, a daughter is perfect, and they still were the source of pain for the mother, this is the principle that I came up with. You ready? Here's the principle. When you sign up for mothering, you sign up for suffering. When you sign up for mothering, you sign up for pain. There will be pain. Even a sinless, perfect child will be the source of pain for a mother. Anybody disagree with that? It's because of the circumstances of life, the curveballs of life, the way people respond. Sure, things will happen to them. But that's not the only kind of suffering and pain that a mother endures. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon: a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You know, if you're blessed with a son or a daughter who basically is a good kid and makes good decisions and is basically wise, there's a good chance that they're not going to be perfect and they're going to do or say something that's foolish, and you're going to sit there and you're going to watch it, and it's going to be a grief to your soul to watch. Because at a certain point, there's nothing you can do or say anyhow. You just sit there and you pray and you experience the internal pain. If they're perfect, there'll be pain. If they're imperfect, there'll be more pain. By the things that they say and the things that they do. And so what do you do, moms? Well, just let's stop at one kid. I've had enough, baby. Well, that's one alternative. But a healthier alternative is to respond by trusting God. Trust in him at all times and pour out your heart before him, Psalm 62, verse 8 says. And that's basically what a mother can do to respond properly to the pain of mothering. And in doing so, she will be a good example to him or her, to other people, as she trusts God with the burden that she bears. Father, we thank you for mothers. We thank you, Lord God, for the devoted caregivers and mothers that we've enjoyed over the years and that we continue to enjoy here at the Canton Grace Brethren Church. We ask that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, that you would affirm them, and that you would use us, Lord God, to be sources of encouragement to them as well. We pray, Lord God, that you would help them to respond to the situations of life well. Many situations that we saw in the video, but also, Lord God, particularly the situations where we receive praise for them and situations where there is pain because of them. For, Lord God, the influence will be multiplied not only in their lives, but in the lives of those who are watching. Bless each mother, caregiver here again, we ask, through Christ our Lord. Amen.